So we are holding on Kuf Lamed Beis, Omud Beis, the bottom line, last few words. We learned yesterday, we're discussing the question of how we know that Mila is Deichat Tzaras. In other words, even if there's Tzaras, normally there's an Isser to cut off Tzaras, there's a Lois Esser. We discussed yesterday in the Gemara there may also be an essay involved. But nevertheless, we're saying that that when it comes to Mila, you still do Mila even if it involves cutting off Tzaras. Even though you're over on that Lois Esser and possibly on that Esser, but nevertheless, in this case, it's Deichat. Okay, so we discussed how we know this. So we said the last thing we said was like this. Rava had said that we make a Kal v'Chomer if Shabbos, which we know, we've already established that Mila Bismana is Deichat Shabbos, then how much more so it's Deichat Saras, which is much less stringent than Shabbos. On the other hand, Reb Safra said that Reb Safra argues that maybe Tzaras. You see, after all, that Tzaras overrides the Avoda in the sense that we said yesterday that even if the Kohen has Tzaras, even when we're talking about, let's say, the Avoda of Erev Pesach, of bringing the Korban Pesach, we don't say he should cut off his Tzaras in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Or let's say most of the Tzibur, let's say most of the Kohenim have Tzaras. We still wouldn't say they should cut off the Tzaras in order to do the Avodah. We'll just push off Pesach that year. There won't be a Korban Pesach that year. There'll be Pesach Sheni. So maybe it has nothing to do with Tzaras versus Shabbos being more stringent. And Rava answers him that the difference is that the reason why you don't cut off Tzaras to do the Avodah is because anyway, the person himself, once he cuts off the Tzaras, he still needs Tevila and a head of Shemesh. And the last thing we said was that anyway, when do we say Eseh, Deicha Lois Eseh, is only when you're accomplishing the Eseh and the Lois Eseh at the same time. Here, you'd be over on the Lois Eseh, you'd be cutting off the Tzaras, and later on that day, you'd be doing the Avodah, so that doesn't work. So the Gemara points out, it's the last line of Kuf Lamed Beis on the Beis, V'hod Rava v'Rav Safra Tanoihi. This argument between Rava and Rav Safra about whether we're learning Mila Bismana, that Mila Bismana takes place, what we said is there were two psukim. We had two places where it said the word bosser. We had by an eight day old baby, it says v'yemesh minyim b'saru losay. By an adult who doesn't get a bris milah, it says v'oral zohar ashalayim b'saru losay. So by both of them, we say the word bosser comes to teach us that. So one way of looking at it, we said, was that the word boso in each case comes to teach us that you do the mila even if there's tzaras there. And then, so what about an in-between? What about a child who's older than 8 days old but younger than 13, so he's not yet chayiv kares? So Abaye had said we could learn it from a mamatzinu, just like if you have a baby and an above 13, so therefore it also applies to what's in between. And then Rava had said that you don't need that. You can learn it, but you can learn a Kal v'Chomer that it would apply on the eighth day, and then you only need one, and then you only need you have the two bussers. One of them can be used for the baby more than 8 days old, and the other one can be used for the adult. So this is a machlokes tanoim, whether we can learn the fact that Mila Bismana on the eighth day is Deichat Tzaras. Can we learn that from a Kal v'Chomer or not? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Bosser, again, when the Pasuk says Bosser, V'yomishmini Yumo B'sara Lasse, means V'afa Pishi Yesham Baheres Yumel Divir Rav Yoshia. So Rav Yoshia says that means even if there's a Baheres there, you can still do the Mila. Rav Yonasan Ainet Sorech. Rav Yonasan says you don't need that, because like Rava said, Shabbos Hamura Deicha, because if we say that Mila is even Deicha Shabbos, which is more stringent, Tzaras LeKol Shekein, then how much more so it's Deicha Tzaras, which is more lenient. So we see that that's basically the same argument as Rava and Rav Safra, where Rav Yonasan is going like Rava and using the Kal v'Chomer, and Rav Safra telling him that, arguing that the Kal v'Chomer doesn't work, and therefore implying that you need a pasuk, which is what Rav Yeshia says. Okay, so now let's analyze that. We said, Omamar, Boser Afabish Yesham Beheres Yimel Divir Rav Yeshia. So the question is, Holomali, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that it's mutter? All this time, we've been taking it for granted that it should be Osir, but actually, why should it be Osir? Dover Shane Miskaven. Isn't it a Dover Shane Miskaven? The Dover Shane Miskaven Mutter. We've learned many times in the Masechta that, according to Reb Shimon, Dover Shane Miskaven is Mutter. So if we follow Reb Shimon, and most of the Rishonim do, then that would mean that, so in this case, it's Dover Shane Miskaven. You're not intending to make the person Tahor by getting off Tzaras. You're intending to do the Bris Milah. The fact that the Tzaras is being removed is a side effect of that. Now, usually in the Masechta, we've been saying Dover Shane Miskaven means that you're doing one thing and incidentally something else gets done. For example, you're dragging a bench and accidentally the dirt gets dug up. Here you're actually cutting off the actual skin where the tzaras is. But nevertheless, the one answer in Rishonim is that in fact maybe tzaras only affects the upper layers of the skin. So therefore, like this, you're taking off the whole skin, including this. So you're doing one part, you're cutting one part of the skin, and with it comes the top layer, which is the tzaras. So that would be one way of understanding why we're calling it Dover Shane Miskaven. So Dover Shane Miskaven is mutter. And even actually, now when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, we've said before, even Rabbi Yehuda, who says Dover Shane Miskaven, is also, Tosfos has said in a couple of places, that even he would agree it's only Drabanan, actually. But in connection with other Isurim, we don't say that. We have established before that the Machlokas about Dover Shane Miskaven does apply to other Isurim as well. For example, we talked about it previously in connection with Shatnez. But nevertheless, when it comes to other Isurim, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Daraisa, Rabbi Shimon would still say that it's allowed. So if it's allowed, then you don't need a pasuk to tell us that you can do it. Amar Abaye la nitzuchayel la Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but the chiddush is only needed according to Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Dover Shane Miskaven Osir. He says, after all, that it is Osir, and again, with most mitzvahs, with most areas of Torah, Rabbi Yehuda will say that it's also Daraisa. Only in the case of Shabbos, because Melechas Machshavas Osir Torah, only there will he make an exception and say, according to Tosfos, that it's only also Derabbanan. Okay, well then in other words, so Rabbi Yoshia, who needs a pasuk, Rabbi Yoshia, who says that we need a pasuk from the word Basar, would say, would hold according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Dover Shane Miskaven is Osir, and therefore it would have been Osir to cut off the Tzaras if it weren't for the fact that the pasuk says so. Rava Amar Filu Temer of Shimon. Rava says you don't need that. You could even say it according to Reb Shimon, because as we've said many times before, Moed Reb Shimon Psikreisha V'lo Yamos. Reb Shimon will agree when it comes to a Psikreisha that Dover Shane Miskaven is also, as we've talked about before. For example, in the case of the very heavy bench that you're dragging, where it's inevitable that it's going to dig up the dirt. The same thing over here. Inevitably, when you do the Mila, you're removing the Tzaras. You didn't intend it. Doesn't matter. So therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree, that's also Daraisa over here, were it not for the word Basar, or were it not for the Kavah Chomer, as the case may be. So the question is, Abaya Lesley Hai Svara, what does Abaya not agree with that concept? That Abaya is saying that we need a Pasuk only according to Rav Yehuda, and according to Rav Shimon, we wouldn't need it? Why? What do you mean? Both Abaya and Rava say that concept, that Rav Shimon agrees by Psikresh of Elayomus. So Abaya should know that also. The answer is Abaya didn't know that originally. Bosa, Shama, Merava, Savra. After Abaya heard this svara from Rava, that Rav Shimon is murdered by Psikresha, then he accepted it also, and from now on it became something that both Abaya and Rava say. But it started out originally as something that Rava said, and before that Abaya didn't know of it, and he thought that Rav Shimon would say that Dover Shane Miskaven is murdered even by Psikresha. Okay. The Gemara says, Ikud Masni Laha Da Abaya V'Rava Amo.
It's hard to reason like this, because I mean, obviously, Reb Shimon cannot hold that even in a case of psikresha, it's mutar. It's a psikresha. There's nothing. There's no kavana in a psikresha.
Nevertheless, the fact is, though, why are we saying anyway that Dover Shane Miskaven would be mutter? In the case of Shabbos, it's because Melechas Machshavas Osir Torah, because the Torah only asks us if you had Kavana to do this Melacha. In the case of other Isurim, fine. But what the source for it would be to say that Dover Shane Miskaven is mutter, I'm not sure. But whatever it is, Abaya originally thought there's no difference. The fact of the matter is, it is a side effect. Whether it's an inevitable side effect shouldn't really matter. Either way, Either way, you didn't intend it. Therefore, there should be no issue. But then Rava pointed out that actually, no, Rav Shimon would distinguish between Psikresha and not. And then Abaye accepted that. Yeah. So it was a svara. I mean, later on, the Gemara doesn't have a problem with that, according to Abaye, that it's not logical to say that. The Gemara is just asking, from the fact is, we see that Abaye himself says that the murder of Shimon of Sikresh of Olayomos. The Gemara has no problem with Abaye thinking to begin with that Rav Shimon would say it even by Psikresha. It's a svara, fine, but the Gemara is only asking because the fact is we find that Abaye himself said differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Gemara says, Ika demasti lahoda Abaye v'Rava aha. Now, this that we said, we had this machloikas Abaye and Rava, where we said Abaye originally wanted to say that something is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Shimon would allow Dabar Shein Miskaven even if it was a Psikresha, and then Rava tells him that Rabbi Shimon is motivated by Psikresha, and Abaye accepts that. Some Chachamim, some of the Amoraim learned this machlokas of this discussion of Abaye and Rava aha in connection with the following. Not in connection with Mila B'Tzaras, but in connection with something else. The Pasuk says, Hishama b'nega tzaras lishma v'oid b'lasis. The Pasuk says, be very careful with the nega tzaras, to be very careful and to do. That is where we learn the loisese of cutting off tzaras, because the word hishama, as we said yesterday, always implies a loisese. In fact, we said yesterday there might be an esse involved as well, because the word lasis would be an esse. But here the Gemara is taking it a little differently. The Braisa says, When the pasuk says lasos, that you're not allowed to do, implies lasos iata oisa. You're not allowed to do something to cut off the tzaras. Aval oisa ata besiv shal gabi raglo moit shal gabi ksefo. But what you are allowed to do, you're allowed to do something which is a dava shein miskaven. The person can tie sieve, which is the stuff that grows around palm trees. It's like a soft, cushiony stuff. Shal gabi raglo, around his foot. So let's say, for example, he wants to put on his shoe, and he puts in some sieve over there as padding for the shoe. He can tie it around his foot. Over moit shal gabi ksefo, or if he has so even if he has tzaras on his foot, he can tie sieve around his foot and then put his shoes on. Or if he has tzaras on his shoulder, he's allowed to carry something on his shoulder. V'im avra avra. And if the tzaras goes away, then no problem. So that's why it says lasis. In other words, shemutu lasis malachta. Rashi says you're allowed to do your malacha. You're allowed to do your normal activities, and you don't have to worry that those might result in the tzaras coming off. So now comes the question. So again, the question would be why we need a pasuk for that. Dava Shein Miskaven, the Dava Shein Miskaven Mutter. Again, it would be a Dava Shein Miskaven. That should be Mutter, according to Rav Shimon anyway. So why would we need a pasuk to tell us that it's allowed? So again, on this one, Amar Abaye Nitzucha El Rabbi Yehuda Dama Dava Shein Miskaven Aser. So Abaye would say it's true, we don't need it according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon would say anyway it's Mutter. Only Rabbi Yehuda, who normally says Dava Shein Miskaven Aser, would say it's needed in this case because he holds Dava Shein Miskaven Aser. And therefore, he would say that. So in this case, the Torah would be making an exception by the word lasos and say that it's Mutter. And the Rava Amar Afilu Temer of Shimon, you could even say it's according to Rav Shimon. Or Moida Rav Shimon, Psikresha. Well, almost again, Rav Shimon would be Moida where it's Psikresha. And apparently, the idea is we're assuming over here that it is a Psikresha that if you put on the sieve or if you carry a pole on your shoulder or whatever, that it is going to rub off the tzaras. So again, then the question would be, Rabbi Leslie High Svara. So are you telling me Rabbi doesn't hold the Svara? Didn't Rabbi also say that? And again, the answer is, Labasa Shame Mirava Sara. The answer is again, that according to that, after Rabbi heard it from Rava, then he understood that, then he understood it and accepted that yes, Rav Shimon would not say his din when it comes to Psikresha. Okay. So now let's get back to Abaye's original assumption that Rav Shimon would say it's mutter even when it's psikresha. So again, the Gemara doesn't have a problem with the svara in and of itself. What the Gemara is going to have a problem with is that according to that, it comes out that we have an extra word, Abaya, Alibadit of Shimon, Hai Bosamai Ovidle. The question then would be, according to Abaya's understanding of Reb Shimon, according to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, what would he do with the word Bosar? We said before that according to Reb Yoshia, we said that the word boser teaches us that even if there is tzaras over there, you still cut it off. According to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that you would have been allowed to even without that, because it is a davar shenei mistaven, even though it is a psik resha. So according to that, forget about the question, why didn't Abaya realize that until Rava told him? Abaya should have realized to begin with that if we do it that way, then what is Reb Shimon doing with the word boser? Now we had a machloekus tanoim at the top of the Amud, whether we're learning from the word boser or whether we're learning from a kavachomer, but that was only as far as mila bismana. That was, do we need the posik to tell us also about mila bismana is doicha tzaras, and then we had a different posik to teach us about an adult that it's doicha tzaras, and we said previously in the Gemara that Abaya would say that then we learn the in between one, the child older than 8 days but younger than 13 years, we would learn from a tzada shava between them. Or is it like Rava and Rabbi Yonason had said that the baby 8 days old, you can learn from a kavachomer and then you have the two psukim for the other two? Okay, but the fact of the matter is, according to everybody, you're using the word boser at some point to teach that at some age, mila is zoicha tzaras. Everybody agrees you need one for a gadol above 13, and yeah, but do we have a separate word boser for the child between eight days and 13 years, or do we learn that from a tzad hashava and then we use the pasuk for the 8 day old? Whatever it is, the point is we're definitely using the word boser to teach us that mila is zeicha tzaras at some point. But according to Abaya, if the whole thing is if Reb Shimon allows it anyway, then according to Abaya, what would Reb Shimon be doing with the word boser? The answer is Amar Amram, but Amar Lokutz Bahauta Humuskaven. So Rab Amram says, because Reb Shimon would say that even if the person is saying, I want to cut off Tzaras. In other words, like this, you could have, let's say, the Gadol we're talking about. So you could have where he just knows, you know, okay, I have a mitzvah to do bris milah. The fact that I'm not worried at the moment about the tzaras, I'm worried about that I need a bris milah. So he arranges with the moel to get himself a bris milah. You're right, according to Reb Shimon, that would be davar shenei miskaven. But you could have it the other way around, where he knows his primary purpose over here is to get rid of the tzaras. The way to do it, he knows, is by getting a bris milah. So he goes and arranges for a bris milah, or he himself maybe even does the bris milah, with the purpose deliberately of cutting off the tzaras. So now it is, it's not davar shenei miskaven, now he actually has kavana to remove the tzaras. And nevertheless, Reb Shimon would say that it's mutter to do that on the grounds of, because the pasuk says the word boser.
But it's different when you talk about it, the psukim we learned that you have to do on the eighth day if it pushes off, whereas if you pushed off already from an adult, so then you could wait another few days, another week until the rest is done.
That's true. And that is true. And in fact, it's true. And in fact, for that reason, you know, we'll say, nevertheless, though, every day that he doesn't have a bris milah is an avera. In fact, the Rambam and the Raivad and Hilchos Milah discuss the question. When we say that a person is chayiv kares for not getting a bris milah, the Rambam learns that it just means, okay, every day he's over, but he's only going to get kares if he actually dies without having a bris milah. And the Raivad disagrees with that. So nevertheless, every single day we want him to be getting a bris milah. But it's true, actually, that particular svara is used to explain why it is that we don't say, normally we say an essay is doicha aloysa, as we said yesterday, but usually an essay is not doicha aloysa and an essay. But here we're saying it does, because here we're saying, even though we said cutting off taras involves a loisas and an esse, we're still overriding it for the sake of mila. But we don't learn from that to all other places in the Torah and say therefore it should be doicha an esse and a loisas all the time, because mila is special, because you have mila nichrusel yud gimel brisis, you have the 13 brisis about it, and we want it to happen as soon as possible. But yeah, okay. So even though he wants to, cut off, I think Marshall talks about the vote is because it's true that maybe the Tsaras will go away, but after all, maybe it won't. What happens if the Tsaras never goes away? He could go his entire life without having a Bris Milah. Therefore, we're going to say that even in this case, even though he's doing it for the sake of removing the Tsaras, we're going to allow it because you never know. The Tsaras otherwise might stay there forever. That was the vote. So even if he has kavana, nevertheless, we're saying he's still allowed to do it. Okay, so the question is Tenach Gadol. Fine, so that explains what would be the Gadol, that even though he has that kavana, nevertheless, it's still Mutter. Cotton my Ikol Meimer. What are you going to say by a cotton? He doesn't have kavana one way or the other. And again, we said it says twice Bosser, and we said one of them definitely refers to a Gadol. The other one maybe refers to a cotton under 8, or maybe it refers to a cotton between 8 and 13. But either way, a cotton's a cotton. He doesn't have that kavana to dafka remove the Tsaras. So then the question would still be, again, according to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon would allow it even if it was Psik Reisha. So according to him, you wouldn't need a Posik to tell us that it's allowed. So with a Gadol, fine, you can say even if he has Kavana, so it's not Dava Shein Miskavin, what would you say with a cotton? The answer is, Amuna Mashashia Ba'omer Avia Ben Lokutz Baheris Dibnoi Hukam Miskavin. Yeah, but what we mean is that the father, who after all, the father has the responsibility to make sure that his son has a Bris Milah, where he says that I want to do it in order to remove my son's, my son's Tsaras. So even in that case, so he's telling the Moyal in order to do it, nevertheless, we would say that it's allowed because even though it's not Dava Shein Miskavin, he's having kavana because of the word bosser.
And if he doesn't have a father and he's a yasim, what do you say?
Yasim, then it's actually the responsibility of the local bastion to get him a Bris Milah. But then in that case, obviously we can rely on them that they're not going to be doing it for the sake of removing the Tsaras. They're going to be doing it for the sake of doing a Bris Milah for him, and then we're back to a Dava Shein Miskavin. We're trying to find a case over here where it is Miskavin, and nevertheless it would be Mutter, and that would be the case. If we're talking about an adult where he himself is Miskavin, if we're talking about a child, we're talking about where the father has Kavana on his son's behalf. Interesting discussion, by the way. The Achronim have an interesting discussion. The Minchas Chinuch talks about it. The Mishnah Lamelach talks about it. In the case, Taka, where you have, let's say, for example, so in the case of the Gadol, where he tells somebody else to do the Milah, now the other person doesn't necessarily have in mind to be doing it for the sake of removing the Tsaras, Pashtus, the Moyal is doing it for the sake of the Mitzvah, to do the Mitzvah of Bris Milah. But nevertheless, the intent, the kavana of the Gadol or of the Cotton's father would take precedence. And therefore, we would say, therefore, that there would be a chiyuv, there would be an issur, and there would be an issur malchus of cutting off the Tsaras, were it not for the fact that it's being done for the sake of the mitzvah of Bris Milah, were it not for the fact that we're accomplishing the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Okay. The question, though, still is, okay, but the question is like this. What happens, let's find somebody else to do the Bris Milah. Let the father not be, let the father not be over there, and therefore, let somebody else do the Bris Milah without the father being involved in that case. That way we won't have, like this, what are we saying? Even though the father intends to get rid of the son's Tsaras, and we're saying his machshava ends up taking precedence over the moyal's, fine, but we have a way around that. What we could do is have the moyal do the bris without the father being there, and therefore that now the father's machshava doesn't make a difference. Now we'll be able to accomplish both. We'll be able to do the mitzvah without being over on the eset. Again, this is all according to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, that it would have been that it's mutter anyway, and you don't need a pasuk to tell us that it's mutter because it's Dava Shein Miskavin. Fine, let's make it a Dava Shein Miskavin. You're saying the father is saying, yeah, but my son has Tsaras. The real reason I'm coming to you, Moyal, is because I want to get rid of Tsaras. The fact that you're able to accomplish it in a way that's mutter by doing a Bris Milah, then good, let's do that. Let the moyal do it without the father being around, or let's find a different moyal who the father hasn't talked to and have him do it, and that way we accomplish both. And that would be best to Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, because after all, we know Rav Lakish says a general rule. When we say Esa Doicha Lo Sese, the rule is like this: Kol Mokam Shata Moita Esa Velo Sese. Whenever you find an Esa and a Lo Sese that are in conflict, for example, Kilayim and Tittis or whatever, Im Ata Yochel Lakayim Shneim, if you're able to accomplish both of them Mutav, then best to do that. Do things in such a way that you won't have to be over on the Lo Sese in order to be Makayim the Esa. The imlav yave esa the yidcha lo esa. Only if not would we say the esa is only if not would we say the esa is doicha the lo esa. So here we have a way around it, because we could if the only problem is that the father if the only problem is the father's kavana, fine, let's get the father's kavana out of the picture, and then we would do it that way. So then in that case we wouldn't have a heter to do it with the father being around and saying I want to do this in order to cut off its saras. So then we're back to, it would be done for the sake of the mitzvah. It's Dovah Sheni Meskaben. And again, according to Abaya's original understanding of Reb Shimon, Dovah Sheni Meskaben is Mutter, even though it's Pesik Reisha, and we wouldn't need a Pesik. So again, this is all the Gemara trying to figure out why Abaya didn't realize in the first place before Rava informed him that Reb Shimon is Mutter by Pesik Reisha. And the answer is Deleka Acha. The answer is okay, but we could be talking about, let's say there's nobody else available. So there is no way to use Rish Lakish's method. So therefore, of necessity, therefore, we're saying we're going to have to have the only mile around is the one that the father already talked to and said that I want to, that I want to have my son's tzaras removed. And if you can do that in a heterodic way, which is by making a bris mila, then good, do that. And we're still saying it's mutter. We're not going to say wait for another mile, because again, we want to do the mila bismana, or we want to do it as early as possible. And again, there's the svara that we mentioned before, that after all, if you don't, then he might end up, if you don't have the mile, do it. What if you don't find another mile, and what if the tzaras still stays there, and then you might have that he might never be able to get the bris mila, because as long as the tzaras is there. So therefore, we're going to say that never mind that, we're going to allow it on the basis of the word besar, on the basis of the word bosser. But again, in the Lamaskana, Abaya and Rava both agree that Psikresha V'lo Yomos, that Reb Shimon agrees to, then therefore we need the Pasuk according to him anyway, even without that. Even whether it was Miskaven or not, just the fact that cutting off the Orla inevitably involves removing the Mila, inevitably involves removing the Tzaras on it as well, then Reb Shimon would, and Reb Yehuda for that matter, neither of them would allow it, were it not for the Pasuk Basar.
What would happen if he was an adult, and then he is a Nazir, and then he becomes Tzaras? What would happen?
Well, the case of what happens when Nazir becomes a Metzora as a whole, it can be a bit of a complicated case, and we'll learn about it in Masechta Nazir when we get to it, that's the shame, but that's not really relevant over here. I mean, a Nazir can't cut his hair. Here we're talking about cutting off the Orla, two different body parts. But the short answer is that the Nazir's Nazirus is suspended while he has Tzaras. But like I say, that's a subject for a different time. Okay. Omar Ma, we said before, we quoted a braisa on Kuf Lamed Beis on a Beis that said like this. It said, Mila is doicha tzaras, whether bismana or shaloi bismana. And now we've just gone through the sugya explaining how we know that. Because again, we have three different stages in life where there could be Mila and Saras. Eighth day, past the eighth day, but below 13, so the child is not yet old enough to be Chayiv Karis, and above 13, where if he doesn't do it, he could be Chayiv Karis. We said twice in the Pasuk it says the word Basar. So we said that either we use each Basar in the context that it says, one for an adult, one for an 8-day-old baby, and then the one in between we learn from a Tzad HaShava, which is what Abaya said, or we say that the 8-day-old baby we learn from a Kal V'chomer, which is that if Mila Bizmana on the eighth day is Deicha Shabbos, then surely on that day it's also Deicha Tzaras. And then the other two we learn from the word Basar. But now the Braise said Omamar Yomtiv ain't Deicha Ela Bizmana Bovad. We said that Yomtiv, it's Deicha only if the Mila is taking place Bizmana. So that's true of Shabbos, but now we're going to focus on Yomtiv. How do we know? So how do we know that a mila past the eighth day is not doicha yomtiv? So menahanim, where do we know that from? Omer Chizkiah, V'chein Tana Drei Chizkiah. So Chizkiah says, and also they learned as a yeshiva from the Beis Medrash of Chizkiah. The difference is, in other words, when it says Omer Chizkiah means it was said as a statement of Amiroyim. Tana Drei Chizkiah would mean that they actually established a that they actually composed a brisa that says that says these words. It's like this. Omer Krod, the pasuk says by the Korban Pesach, lo yisrei sirim imenu ad boker. The pasuk says you should not leave over from the Korban Pesach until the morning, and then the pasuk continues, v'han nosim imenu ad boker ba'esh tisroifu. Whatever is left of it until the morning, you should burn it. We should burn with fire. Now, she'ein tamud leimer ad boker. The pasuk did not have to mention the second time ad boker. Because if we say that you can't leave it over until the morning, and then and that anything that's left, if we say that you're not supposed to leave anything over until the morning, then obviously when are you burning it in the morning? Ma tamad loyma ad breaker. So what is the second ad breaker adding? Barakos of litan like breaker sheni lishrei fosay. The pasuk is coming to tell us that you don't burn it that same morning that it became noiser. You have to burn it the following morning. You eat the Korban Pesach the night of Pesach, the one night of Pesach that there is in Eretz Yisrael. The next morning is the first day of Yom Tov. You can't burn the Korban then. In general, you can't burn Noser on Yom Tov. So what do? You have to wait until one day later. You have to wait until the next morning, which is the 16th, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, and then you burn it. So we see from that, in other words, that you don't do things of choil on Yom Tov. The Korban Pesach is considered to be a thing of choil because, after all, when do you bring it? You bring it on Erev Pesach, which is not a Yom Tov. So there, and therefore we're saying the Korban Pesach, since it was brought on a Yom Choil, on a weekday, therefore the burning of it cannot take place on Yom Tov. It has to take place on a weekday. By the same token, then a Mila Shaloi Bizmana means that the proper day for the Mila came. It was a weekday. But then it couldn't be done for whatever reason. So now it's considered a weekday activity, and now you can't do it on Yom Tov. Okay, so that's one. Abaya Omar, Abaya says, here's a different way. Omar Kro Oilas Shabbos v'Shabbatoi. The Pasuk says, the Oila of each Shabbos on its Shabbos, which means, V'loi Oilas Choyol b'Shabbos, we've learned about this before, it means you don't bring weekday korbanos on Shabbos, which means, in other words, when you have the fats and whatnot that are left over from the korbanos of Friday, you're not allowed to burn them on Shabbos, on the Mizbeach, V'loi Oilas Choyol b'Yom Tov, and similarly, you can't burn the weekday Oila on Yom Tov, same thing, any korbanos that were brought on Erev Yom Tov, the fats and Evarim of them have to be burnt before Yom Tov begins. So by the same token, in other words, so we're saying, so again, Mila Shaloi Bizmana is like an Ola of Chol on Yom Tov, because again, the time for it was on the eighth day, and that was on a weekday, and now you had to postpone it to Yom Tov. So the same way as you're not allowed to burn the leftover pieces of a korban from weekdays on Yom Tov, the same way you're not allowed to do a Mila, so to speak, leftover Mila from a Yom Tov, from a weekday to do on Yom Tov. Rava says the third way. Omar Kro, hu levadei ye'osa lachem. The pasuk says only it should be done for you. The pasuk says about melechas eichel nefesh that only melechas eichel nefesh is allowed on Yom Tov. So therefore, so we have the words hu and levadei are both miotim. So each one of them teaches us something. The word hu means v'loy machshirin. The word hu teaches us that only melechas eichel nefesh itself is derech Yom Tov, not the machshirin. So similarly to we learned at the beginning of our parak about machshirim of mila. Let's say you don't have the knife, or let's say the knife is not there, and you're not allowed to bring it. You're not allowed to bring it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make it or bring it on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Akiva, which, as the Gemara is going to say now, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So the same thing with Oichel Nefesh. Let's say, for example, you want to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, which you're allowed to do. Let's say you don't have a shechita knife. You're not allowed to make one on Yom Tov. So we learn that from the word hu, and the word levadoi means v'loy mila shaloi bizmana de asi mikava chayma. The word levadoi means that means that you're not allowed to do a mila shaloi bizmana, which otherwise, if you didn't have that word levadoi, you would have learned by a kava chayma that mila is allowed, that mila even shaloi bizmana is allowed on Yom Tov. What kava chayma? Rashi says we're talking about the kava chayma that we discussed yesterday in the Gemara, the one involving tzaras. That tzaras is doicha avoida, because we said even if the kohen has tzaras, and even if the majority of kohenim have tzaras, we don't allow them to cut off their tzaras in order to do the avoida. And we said nevertheless mila is doicha tzaras, whether bismana or shaloi bismana. So therefore Shabbos, so Shabbos, or in this case we're talking over here about Yom Tov, which you do the avodah on, then in that case, mila shaloi bizmana should be doche. So that would have been the kavachomer that we use, but instead, the pasuk tells us levadoi to tell us not to do that kavachomer. That's according to Rashi. A lot of Rishonim have a problem with that because, after all, in the Gemara before, we slogged up that kavachomer. We said it's not really that saras is more chomer. We said it's not really that saras is more chomer. It's that saras is a special case because even if he cuts off the saras, he's not going to be able to do the avodah today anyway because he's still going to need tevila and head of shemesh. Okay, one answer is, in fact, here we're talking according to Rava, and there, as we said yesterday, Tosva says the gears over there might have been Rava. So therefore, so in that case, it could be two different Amoraim who have different opinions, but another, different other Rishonim bring different other possibilities what the Kavachomer is. There have been Hananel says over here, the Kavachomer is, if you're allowed to do Melechas Oichol Nefesh on Yom Tov, even though Melechas Oichol Nefesh to prepare food is not in and of itself a mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Simcha of Yom Tov, but there's no particular mitzvah in and of itself to prepare food on Yom Tov, and nevertheless you're allowed to do it. You would have argued that Mila, which is an actual mitzvah, and, well, for that matter, without the Mila, the child is not able to eat truma. The adult, the person who has it, who doesn't have a bris milah, is not able to eat truma. So maybe it shouldn't be considered sort of a melechas oichol nefesh. And therefore, we would have made that kavachomer. And therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that not with the word levadai. Tosfos earlier in the Masechta discusses another possibility. The kavachomer would have been based on the fact that you're allowed to bring nedarim unedavas on Yom Tov, that you're allowed to bring your voluntary korbanos. You're allowed to bring your according to one opinion in the Gemara and Beitza anyway. You're allowed to bring your nedarim or nedavos on Yom Tov. So therefore, we would have made a kavachomer. If you're able to do that, how much more so you should be able to do mila. Okay. Anyway, so we would have learned it with one of these kavachomers, and therefore we need the word levadoi to tell us that not. So that's a third way of knowing that you don't do mila shalei bizmana on Yom Tov. So far we have one from burning the Korban Pesach, from the word adboiker, two from burning the leftover pieces of the korbanos that are on the Mizbeach, and three from the word levadai. Rav Ashi says a fourth way. The pasuk says shabbosa in esehu. All this time we've been assuming that not doing malacha on Yom Tov is only a lois eseh. There's no eseh involved. Now Rav Ashi is pointing out there's actually an eseh involved because by each of the Yom Tovim it says shabbosa. It says you should rest, which means esehu. That is a mitzvah saseh to rest on that particular Yom Tov. The havala Yom Tov esev a lois eseh. So now Yom Tov is actually an eseh and a lois eseh together. And as we know, ve'ein eseh doicha is lois eseh ve'eseh. So an eseh is not doicha, a lois eseh, an eseh, as we talked about before. We said before, maybe mila being doicha tzaras is an exception to that, because we would say, again, the svara is that otherwise he might never get a mila, because the tzaras might last there for the rest of his life. But ordinarily, we say an eseh is only doicha, a lois eseh, not a lois eseh and an eseh. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov these days we're starting Rambam in Perek Echad, I believe you guys are now in the listing of mitzvah saseh. So you'll see there that you have there the Rambam lists for each one of the Yom Tovim. There's a separate esseh and a lois esseh. The lishvois on such and such a Yom Tov, and not to do malacha on such and such a Yom Tov, and so forth for each of the six other ones. So that's based on what Rav Ashi is saying over here, that each Yom Tov involves an esseh and a lois esseh. So those are four different ways of learning that a mila shaloi bizmana is not doicha Yom Tov. Again, that it's doicha bizmana, we said before, we learned from the word bayoim. Bayoim ashmini yumo basaro losoi. Bayoim means even on Shabbos. And of course, if it's doicha Shabbos, all the more so it's doicha Yom Tov. But shaloi bizmana, we're saying it's not even doicha Yom Tov based on any of these four lemudim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah.
I'm asking you the question I asked you last time, which is that how do we know that the mila is valid after the eighth day? After all, the pasuk says Yom Ashmini.
That's fine, but the pasuk also says Oral Zohar Asher Lo Yimos Psara Lase V'Nichusa. The pasuk says an adult who doesn't have a bris mila gets kares, implying obviously he has the option to do a bris mila. If the only time to do it was the eighth day, and it's too late to do that after that, then you can't give him kares for not getting a bris mila. At 8 days old, he was too young to know the difference, and if you said that a bris mila is never valid after that, then there'd be no room to give him kares for not getting it.
No, because after the eighth day, you would say that he doesn't get kares, but it's not considered bris mila anymore.
But the pasuk uses the expression "asher lo yimel psara losei." So no, it is considered mila.
It's a mila, but it's not a bris mila.
Yes, it is. The same when we said Nichrusola Yugimo Brises, 13 times it says Bris. Some of those Brisim, at least one of those, it says actually in connection with a Gadol, as Brisi Hefar. So yes, it is still considered Bris Mila. And as we said before, that it is even Doicha Taras, because we have one of the words Bsar is also over there. Ashala Yumos Bsar Eloso. We said we learn that Mila is Doicha Taras from that word Bsar. So yes, it applies, that particular part applies equally well after 8 days. Only the part that's not Doicha Shabbos or Yom Tov applies only on the 8th day. We said in the Mishnah, Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had said a general rule, disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, that Machshirei Mila are not Doicha Shabbos, and the general rule Rabbi Akiva said is anything that could have been done before Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos, and only when it comes to the Mila itself, which can only be done on Shabbos, only that is done on Shabbos, and then anything after that. So Omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Halacha Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, so Machshirei Mila are not Doicha the Mila. Are not Doicha Shabbos. The Gemara continues, it's Tnan Nami, Gavi Pesach, Ki Hai Gavna. We actually have a similar thing when it comes to the Korban Pesach, where we have the same machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and again we have Rabbi Yehuda pointing out the halachas like Rabbi Akiva. We learn in a Mishnah in Pesach, in Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said a general rule, Kol Malacha She'ef Shalal La'asos in the end of Shabbos, any of the malachas with the Korban Pesach that could have been done before Shabbos. Rashi gives examples from the Gemara over there. For example, let's say the animal was outside the tchum and you need to bring it to the Beis Mikdash. You need to bring it to the Beis Mikdash. So you have to make sure that it's within the tchum before Shabbos, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, that is. Or let's say the animal has a wart, which would make it a Baal Mum, and you have to cut that off. You have to make sure to cut that off before Shabbos. So Einer Doicha is a Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva would say such things are not Doicha Shabbos. And if you didn't, if the animal wound up out, if the animal was still outside the tchum when Shabbos began, or it still had the war when Shabbos began, then you can't bring that animal as a Korban Pesach. Shchita, she'ef shalah soysim, Erev Shabbos, only the shchita of the animal, which cannot be done Erev Shabbos, doicha es Shabbos, only that overrides Shabbos. So same machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Akiva, again Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the halacha is Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Tosfos points out it's not really Hilchos Elam Meshicha because it sort of strengthens. Usually, the Gemara asks why are we bothering Paskin and Halacha for what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. The Sanhedrin at that time can decide who the Halacha is. But Tosfos says because the fact is that it's sort of strengthening the Psach about Mila that we're saying it's not only as far as Mila but also as far as other mitzvahs that we would always say that Machshirim of a mitzvah are not Doicha Shabbos. Now, the question is, Utsricha, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to inform us of that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in both places? We need it. The Iyashmin and Gabi Mila, because if he only told us that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva by Mila, we would say, Hosam Hud Machshirin Epshal Asif Masmo. You know why we say that any Machshirin that could have been done yesterday don't override the Mila, and you'll just do the Mila the next day if you don't have them, because Loy Dochul Shabbos, so that they're not going to be there for Shabbos, they're like a Kores, because there's no Kores involved. If you end up having to postpone the Mila from Shabbos to Sunday, okay, there's no Kores involved. The child himself is not going to be Chayiv Kores until many years later. The father was not Chayiv Kores at all for not having his son get a Bris Mila. Therefore, we would say that, okay, so you don't have the machshir and you don't have the knife or whatever, then fine, you just postpone the mila. Ava Pesach to Ika Kores, but Pesach there's only the one day to bring it, and if you don't, then you chayev Kores. Eima Lidchu Shabbos, you would have said that, let's say, still, maybe the fact is we don't want him to be in that situation, and therefore we're going to allow him to bring the animal from outside the tchum or whatever. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda needs to tell us the halacha is Rabbi Akiva even in that case. The Iyashmin and Gavit Pesach, on the other hand, if you only told us the halachas are like Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you would say, because Pesach is not as important, because as we said, it didn't say 13 times Bris in connection with the Korban Pesach, like it does in connection with Bris Mila. So you would say maybe Pesach is less important, you can override it, you can postpone it, he just won't bring a Korban Pesach if he doesn't have the animal inside the tomb. Ava Mila de Nichusela Yudgum Brises. But Mila, where you have 13 brises, and therefore it's a very, very important mitzvah. Eima Lidchu Shabbos, maybe you would say that even the preparations should be Doicha Shabbos, so you should be allowed to make a knife or carry the knife or what have you, in order to accomplish this very important mitzvah that has 13 brises. Tzricha, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda has to tell us in both cases that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So now, the Mishnah continues, Oisin kol tzorchim mila b'Shabbos. We do all of the...
What about Pesach Sheni? What about Pesach Sheni? It would break the Taurus, wouldn't it?
Well, so the Gemara actually discusses in Psachim, there's a sugi over there that discusses the question, what exactly happens? Fine, but what happens though if he doesn't end up bringing it Pesach Sheni either? You have different possibilities over there. Is it tradition, the Shogak B'Sheni? You could have a case, let's say, where for whatever reason he deliberately didn't bring the Korban Pesach the first Pesach, and then mistakenly he didn't bring it Pesach Sheni. Or you could have, I mean, after all, it's, you know, not necessarily, I mean, he has Pesach Sheni available, but he could end up being Tomei, he could end up being Bederech HaChayko or whatever, and then you would have not necessarily are we saying he's actually Chayav Kares, because in this case, for example, it's sort of an onus, you know, he didn't have the animal available within the home before Shabbos, but nevertheless, we're calling it a Chiyuv Kares in the sense that there can be Kares involved for not bringing the Korban Pesach, as opposed to there can't be Kares involved for delaying the Bris Milah by a day or two. That's what we mean. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Oisim called Tzorchim Milah B'Shabbos. You're allowed to do all the needs of the Milah on Shabbos, namely, and now again, we're not talking about the preparations for the Milah, that we just said the halacha is that you can't do them on Shabbos. We're talking about the Milah itself and the things that come after it. Moyalin, you do the actual Milah itself, which is to cut off the Orla, Upodin, and you do the Priya. Underneath the Orla, you have a thinner membrane, which the Moyal peels back with his fingernails in order to fully expose the glands, the end of the Aver over there. So you do that, because the Priya is part of the Milah as well. In fact, at the end of our parak, we're going to learn more v'le para samila ki ilu le'mol. If you do the mila without the priya, it's considered as if you didn't do the mila at all. So here, the priya is an essential part of it, and you do that on Shabbos as well. Umoitzin, and he does the mitzitza. He sucks out the blood. Now here, you have an actual malacha involved. Rashi explains because you're sucking out the blood, and therefore you're causing it to travel from where it was, and that would be a tolda of the malacha of sheichet, as we learned before, taking out the blood. Nevertheless, that's an essential part of the mila, as we're gonna learn on other days. You have the famous discussion that's gone on the last couple hundred years on the question: does matzitza daft have to be done by mouth? Can it be done with a tube? Can it be done with a sponge or whatever? You have certain poskim allowed it to be done with a tube or a sponge or what have you. Many poskim said that not. It must be done with the mouth, and that's of course the whole argument about mitzitza bepeh that you have every so often surfacing in the headlines. Okay, so you do that. Then you do all those things on Shabbos. The nosnale is blonis for kamelin. You also afterwards you put onto the mila a bandage and kamelin, which is cumin, which is a spice, which in those days they used to put it on to speed up the healing. Okay, now what do you do if you don't have? Now you're supposed to use ground up cumin for that purpose. Imloy shochak me'erev Shabbos. If you didn't grind up the cumin before Shabbos, you can't grind it up on Shabbos. Loyus bishchina v'noisin. What you can do is you can chew it with your teeth. You can chew it with your teeth and then apply it over there. Now, it is true, Tosfos mentions, that after the mila, the baby is considered a chola sheyesh b'sakana, but still, we should try to make as much of a shinui as possible, and since we're able to accomplish it by chewing the cumin instead of grinding it up, then we should do that. The imloy toraf yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos. Also, they used to, in those days, another treatment they would put on the mila wound towards is they would mix up oil and they'd mix up oil and wine together, beat them together in a bowl like you beat eggs, and then apply that to the area. So imloy toraf yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos. If you didn't beat together the wine and the oil before Shabbos, so what you do is you can't do it on Shabbos. You put them each individually, meaning either what it means is you pour the wine and the oil into the bowl. You don't beat them together. You maybe just stir them a little bit gently with your finger or whatever, and then you apply it. Or it means you pour the oil on the wound, and then you pour the wine, and then you rub them around in there a little. The ein osim macholok lachatchila, continues the Mishnah. You can't make afterward. You need the bandage. The kind of bandage they used in those times for a mila was called a cholok. A cholok literally means because it was shaped a little bit like a shirt. It was a tube of cloth. They would put it over the aver, leaving the end of the aver uncovered. So it looked a little bit like a shirt. So you're not allowed to make that on Shabbos. And the reason is, Rashi explains, they did that in order, because you don't want the skin to grow back over and recover the end. So therefore, they have this chaluk, like would hold the remains of the skin back so they don't grow back over. Nowadays, I guess they don't do that. Nowadays, they use other kinds of dressings. But anyway, so you're not allowed to make that chaluk on Shabbos, because again, any tzorche mila that could have been done before Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos. So if you don't have a chaluk, what you can do is you can just wrap a piece of cloth around it. And that'll do until after Shabbos, and then after Shabbos you can make the chaluk like you're supposed to. Because after all, the point is, the chaluk is not needed for the healing of the mila itself. It's meant only to make sure that a side thing doesn't happen, that the skin doesn't grow back over and recover, and that you can't be doicha Shabbos. If you have the chaluk but you didn't prepare, what if not only you don't have the chaluk but you don't even have a piece of cloth available right there, if you don't have it prepared before Shabbos, kodach alatz boyum maybe, then what you can do is you can take the cloth and wrap it around your finger and bring it b'afrilu mechotzer acheres, and you'd be allowed to do that even from a different chotzer where they didn't make an eruv with the chotzer where the bris is taking place, but nevertheless, because you're wrapping it around your finger, it's considered derech malbush, so it's considered a way of wearing it, and therefore it would be mutter. There's a discussion among the Rishonim, what about, would you be allowed to do that even in Rishos Rabim, or are we saying only from one chotzer to another where it's only an Issur Derabanan to begin with? Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Nechdi, let's consider, Katani Kulu, we mention in the Mishnah all the things you have to do for Bris Milah. We mentioned the various stages of the mila itself. We mentioned the treatments that you put on it afterwards, the cumin and the wine and oil. We mentioned the choluk. So we've covered everything. So when the Mishnah starts off, oisin kol tzorche mila b'Shabbos, what else is that coming to include? The answer is lasuya hodatana rabbanon. Comes to include this that we learn in a braisa about more details of what you're allowed to do as far as the mila. Hamol, when the person is doing the bris milah, calls manchu osik b'milah, as long as he is involved with doing the milah, as long as he's doing the milah and the priya, and maybe also the mitzitza, choser, then what if he realizes he didn't remove the entire erla? Now, you have like this. Later on in the parak, we're going to learn that there's a minimum amount of the erla that has to be removed. There has to be, you have the area where the erla is attached to the aver, you have after the mila is done, you have a groove that goes around over there, which is called, from there it starts sloping down to the end. That area is called the atara. It has to be that most of the atara, most of the gland, it's called in English, is uncovered. If most of it is not uncovered, then you haven't done a proper bris mila. Now, so you have like this. So we can distinguish between, you have what's called tzitzin, as the Gemara is going to call them, which means pieces of flesh. You have the ones that are active, and you have the ones that are not active. Meaning, again, you have that ring that goes around near the end over there, from which the glands begins, and then it slopes down to the end. So there are tzitzin ma'akvin, namely, if you didn't remove most of the skin of the orla around that, then it's tzitzin ma'akvin, and it prevents the mila from being considered valid. And then you have, if you cut most of it and left over a miut of it, then that would be tzitzin she'enim ma'akvin. So the Braisa says, Hamol calls Manchu Osik Bamila, as long as he's involved in doing the actual Mila, Choizu, he can go back and redo it properly, Bainala Tzitzin Ma'akvinas Hamila, whether it's to remove one's pieces of flesh that are actually going to be Ma'akiv Bamila, or ones that are not. So if he realizes after having done the Mila and Priya that actually he didn't do the Mila, he only removed a small amount of the Orla and most of the Atara is still covered, then he can go back to do that. And also, even if he realizes that, okay, most of the Atara is uncovered, but some of it still is covered, he can also go back and fix that, as long as he's involved in the Mila. This is on Shabbos. Pirush. Once he's finished with the Mila and the Priya and the Matzitza, and realizes that, Al Tzitzin Ma'akvinas Hamila Choser, he can go back even on Shabbos to finish the Tzitzin Ma'akvin, because after all, without that, you don't have a proper Bris Mila. Al Tzitzin Chein Ma'akvinas Hamila Ein Choser, but he can't go back to remove the Tzitzin Chein Ma'akvin, because after all, those are not, that would be like a new beginning. So as long as he's involved with the Mila, then Shabbos is already given to be overridden for this bris, therefore he's allowed to do all of them. But once he finished with the Mila and Priya and Matzitza, now at this point, If he starts over again to remove the tzitzit and chain and machbin, then that would be like a new beginning, and he doesn't have the right to be mechal Shabbos for that. So therefore, so when the Mishnah says kol tzorchi milah, it means even the tzitzit and chain and machbin, as long as he's still working on the milah, then he's allowed to do those as well. It's kind of interesting, actually, when you think about it. I mean, nowadays we have, you know, the moil just takes the knife and does like, you know, one quick cut and it's done with. Apparently, in those times they didn't do it quite like that. Maybe their knife. I can't imagine. It's not that their knives weren't as sharp. I don't really know why it is that we're assuming over here that there might be tzitzit ma'akvin or tzitzit chen ma'akvin. I'm not sure that any moil nowadays would do that way. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Man tana pirush enichoyzer." Okay, when we're saying that because he finished the milah, now we're saying if he were to go back for the tzitzit shkenim achben, it would be a new beginning, and he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Which tana says that? Amar Rava Rabbi Chana, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika. That would be according to Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika, which we learned before. The Tanya we learned a couple of prakim ago. Our ba also shachalis for Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, comes out on Shabbos, and you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, mafshit adam Pesach adachozer, you only strip off the skin of the Korban Pesach until the chest of the animal, and then you remove the emurim, and then you leave the rest of the skin attached until after Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika. V'chama mafshit neskula. The Chum say you can remove the whole skin. And we learned about this previously in the 16th Perek. We had a whole discussion about why the Chachamim would allow you to do the whole thing. Was it because anyway they allow such things even when it's being done for tzorach hediyot? You don't need it for tzorach gavoya. You don't need it for the sake of the actual mitzvah because you're able to remove the emurim without it. But the Chachamim allowed it because kol poel Hashem l'maneu, because you're doing it for the honor of Hashem, so the kodshim shouldn't be like a nevela. Or so they don't spoil, or in general, you're allowed to do them, etc. So we had a whole sugya about it. But anyway, the point is, now, what are we talking about over there? You stripped off the skin until the chazah, then you take out the emurim, then you're going back to the stripping of the skin. So therefore, that's the equivalent over here, of having finished the main part of the meal, and then going back to do the tzitz and chain and machin. And Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika is saying you can't do that by the Korban Pesach. So we would assume the same thing. He would say you can't do it by the milah, whereas the chachamim, who say that over there you could finish stripping off the skin, would say that over here you could go back for the tzitz and chain and machin, even though you already finished the first stage of the milah. Okay. So the Gemara says, he says that that's the question of Rabbi Yechon b'breika also. You know why Rabbi Shmuel b'nei Shmuel Rabbi Yechon b'breika says there that you can't finish taking off the skin of the Korban Pesach? Because you don't need it. There's no zek keli v'andeu. Once you remove the emurim, then there's no particular hiddur mitzvah in making the meat nicer by removing the rest of the meat. But when it comes to the milah, you have a concept of al-hachadabin and zekeli vandeu. Here, the mitzvah, to make the milah look nice and remove as much as possible of the orla, even the tzitz and chain and rachbin, then that is an important factor. And maybe Rabbi Shmuel would allow that on Shabbos also. Even if you finished milah, priya, and matzitza, and then you realized, wait, but there are tzitz and chain and rachbin, but in removing them would be making the mitzvah nicer. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel should allow it, because zekeli vandeu is an important thing. Zanya, as we learned in a braisa. When the pasuk says Zeh Keli Vandeu, this is my God, and I will make him beautiful, it means his snarl of fun of the mitzvahs. It means be beautiful before Hashem with mitzvahs. I say the fun of sukkana, the lulavna, make for Hashem a nice sukkah and a nice lulav, the shofarna, a nice shofar, tzitzisna, nice tzitzis, sefer torah na, a nice sefer torah of a kasa by lishmoy, and write the sefer torah lishmoy. Actually, writing it lishmoy is actually a halacha, but okay. Bidyoyna, use nice ink. Rekumusna, using a nice pen. Now, the pen itself, I mean, you're not going to see the pen later on when you finish writing the sefer torah. So one explanation is, when we say the nice pen over here, what we actually mean is that the writing should be nice. You should use a pen that you make sure you use a pen that will allow you to write very nicely in that way. Even long after it's written, you'll see the letters look very beautiful. The Lavla Uman have you use an expert sofer, the Kochem Bishiroi known, and wrap up the Sefer Torah using nice silks, using a nice mantle. So all that is part of Zekeli Vandeu. So the same thing over here, to make the milah nice. Abasholim. Abashol learns the word Zekeli Vanveu differently. The Tanakama was learning from the word Anveu, Meloshin Nova, Meloshin Nice. Abashol is learning it Meloshin Ani Vahu. Means heve doimel ani vahu, I and he, meaning heve doimeloi. I, meaning I was make yourself like Hashem, ani vahu, I will make myself like him. Meaning mahu chanam v'rachum, afatahei chanam v'rachum. Just like Hashem is kind, is kind and is gracious and merciful, you should also be gracious and kind and merciful. So you should follow Hashem's ways. In fact, Marashal says it's not even Abashol is not even really arguing with the Tanakama. He's not even necessarily doushing Anvehu any differently than the Tanakama. He's saying you Tanakama are talking about making sure that the various objects that you use for mitzvahs, for example, your lulav and your sukkah and your sefer Torah and so forth, are nice. Abashol is also adding by the same token, your middos should also be nice. Anyway, the point is, so maybe Rabbi Shlom, Benosh Rabbi Yechon Broker, would agree with that concept of Pashtos, and therefore he would say that, yes, in order to make the Mila nicer, maybe you could even go back for Tzitzin Amachmin. So the fact that we're saying that not would be, is not necessarily only according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would be according to everybody. The fact is, as we said before, that it's very nice, very, very nice to do Hidur Mitzvah, but you can't be Mechal Shabbos for that. Once he finished, once he did the Mila and Priya and Mitzitzah, and then he realizes there are tzitzin and she'en and ma'achbin, then he can't go back for them, because even though that would be hidur mitzvah to make them, but you can't be mechal Shabbos for hidur mitzvah. Okay. Elo, omer Rav Ashi homani Rav Yosi. So no, Rav Ashi says we can say that this statement about not being mechal Shabbos for the tzitzin, she'en and ma'achbin would be according to Rav Yosi. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Bain Shinira Baalil, when the moon is visible, and Edom have to come to Beis Din to give Edus, so that Beis Din can be clear Rosh Chodesh, whether the moon was seen clearly, in a way where many people have probably seen it, Bain Shaloi Nira Baalil, or whether it wasn't seen so clearly, and you two Edom might have been the only ones who saw it, either way, Mechal and Olavos Shabbos, if it's Friday night, you still Mechal Shabbos to go and travel to Beis Din and give Edus. Rabbi Yosi, I mean, Nira Baalil, a Mechal and all of us a Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosi says, if it was seen clearly, you're not Mechal Shabbos. So we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yosi is saying that, so Rabbi Yosi is saying that even though there is a mitzvah involved, it's not Sorach Gavoya, it's not really needed for the sake of establishing Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tovim on the right days, because after all, there are many other people who probably saw it as well, and some of them will be within a Tum Shabbos, a Beis Din, and they can go, rather than you being Mechal Shabbos. So by the same token, Rabbi Yosi would say that over here, it's not Sorach Gavoya, because these are, after all, Tzitzin Shein and Machvin, the Mila is kosher even if they're still there. But again, not necessarily. Mimai, who says that's correct? Dilma ad kan like omer Rabbi Yosi hasam blanitna Shabbos ledochas. The difference is Rabbi Yosi would say that there, to begin with, you don't have the right to be mechal Shabbos because you saw the moon clearly. Many other people also mestama did. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi would say to begin with, you don't have the right to go and start breaking Shabbos and start traveling to Beis Din. But avahocha the nitna Shabbos lidachos. But over here, after all, the moil does have permission to start by doing something which normally is also on Shabbos. Because after all, there is a bris to be done on Shabbos, and he is doing a bris which involves malachas, and we're allowing him to. So maybe Rabbi Yosi would say, fine. Once you've already started, once you were already able to be mechal Shabbos for the bris itself, then maybe you're allowed to even be mechal Shabbos to continue, even for the parts that are not tzorach gavaya. To remove the tzitzin and chain and machin. But maybe Rabbi Yosi would say, when you didn't start being Mechal Shabbos yet, and you don't need to because other people will have seen it as well, then you're not allowed to. Ela, Amri, Nahodoi. So actually, the Nahodoi, the Chum of Nahodoi say, Rabbonin, the Pligalei of Yosi. Actually, the ones who say that you can't go back for the tzitzin, chain and machin once you finish the Mila on Shabbos would actually be the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yosi. So not Rabbi Yosi himself, but actually the opposite, the Chachamim who disagree with him in a different context, not when it comes to Edus or Rosh Chodesh, but rather when it comes to the Lachem upon him. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, but when it comes to, they replace the Lachem upon him on the Shulchan every Shabbos. So how did they work it? Arba'a Koinim Nechnasim, four Koinim would go into the Hechel, Shnayim B'yadim Shnei Storim, two Koinim are holding the two stacks of Lachem upon him, each one is holding a stack of six. The other two kohenim are holding the two spoonful, the new two spoonfuls of levoina that are going to be placed on the shulchan with the lachem upon him. Then you have four other kohenim go in ahead of them to take off the old lachem upon him. Shnayim little shnei starim. Two of them are going to be taking off the two stacks of lachem. Shnayim little shnei bazichin. Two of them are going to be taking off the two bazichim. The two spoonfuls of teres, hamachnisim oimim atzafin upneim ladarim. The ones who are bringing in the new lachem upon him stand on the north side of the shulchan, facing the south. The shulchan itself is on the north side of the heichel, is in the northern half of the heichel. So the ones who are carrying the new lachem upon him are standing between the wall and, the shulchan. Rashi explains, because in general, in the Mikdash, everything involved in the north was a place of chashivus. As we know, for example, Kodshim Kalim are shechted on the north, so therefore, the ones who are bringing in the new lachem upon him, we give them the place of honor and have them stand in the north. And they're facing south towards the shulchan. The ones who are taking out the old lachem upon him are standing on the south between the shulchan and the menorah. Then they're standing and they're facing towards the north. So you have the ones who are taking out the old lachem upon him start pulling them out. They start pulling them out in their direction. The other ones, meanwhile, at the same time, are sliding theirs in. One kohen's hand is right next to the other kohen's hand. There's no space. There's like very little space between the old lachem upon him and the new. Because the pasuk says the lachem upon him always has to be on the shulchan. So therefore, you have to make sure. Says the Tana Kama over here. Says the Chachamim that the shulchan shouldn't be without lachem upon him for even a moment, and therefore they have to make sure that as they're taking off the old lachem upon him, the new lachem upon him is being put on. Before Shimon the Pesukim talk about the idea that through the shulchan Hashem sent down parnasa and shefa to the world, and therefore if the shulchan was empty for even a moment, then that would be broken off. That's according to the Tanakh. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need that. Even if the one group takes away the lachem upon him and later on and take it completely off and later on they put on the new lachem upon him, after Hoya Tamid, that's also considered Tamid. Because Rabbi Yossi would say, Rashi brings that Tamid just means that they have to have bread on the shulchan every night. And the point is, therefore, we see that the Chachamim are saying that no. Now, the Chachamim agree that Tamid does not always mean constant. Yeah, for example, the Korban Tamid is only brought twice a day. But nevertheless, the Chachamim would say that if you take off the old lachem upon him, and later on you come and bring in the new lachem upon him, then it's considered a new beginning. It's not considered Tamid anymore. So the same thing. If you finish the Bris Milah and now you're looking at Tzitzin Shein and Makvin, the Chachamim would consider that a new beginning. And again, you don't have the right to be Mechalal Shabbos for that new beginning because those are Tzitzin Shein and Makvin. The Milah is kosher even if they're never removed at all. So therefore, the Chachamim would be the ones who don't allow you to remove them. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says the opposite would. Yeah.
When you take the Tzitzin and Makvin, this Tzitzin like little strings of skin.
Yes. Tzitzin literally means strings or hanging off things, yeah. So that's, I was saying before, I mean, usually now, you know, nowadays, a moyel does the milah, he does like, you know, one clean cut, and there's nothing hanging off, but apparently in those days, they didn't always do that. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe they didn't have such sharp milah knives, although it's hard to imagine they had sharp shitta knives, no reason they couldn't have had sharp milah knives, but I don't know, whatever it is, the point is that sometimes you'd have these shreds of skin that are left over, and again, you might have enough of them to cover most of the atara, and then the milah is no good yet, then for sure you can go back for those anytime, because without those you don't have a valid bris milah. And then you can have ones that are not active, where only a minority only a small part of the atara, less than half of it, is covered, and those are tzitzin shein and ma'akev. So we're saying that he should remove them ideally because that kli divan beu. But we're saying on Shabbos, if he already finished the bris milah, as long as he's still working on the milah, then he's allowed to remove them also. But once he finished with the milah, once he did the milah and priya and maybe also the matzitza, then he's not allowed to go back for them. So we're saying that would be the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yossi would be the ones who say that. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem.
And you're back, Mitchell.